Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
Oh, Lord, we just love you, Lord. Oh, Yeshalona Messiah. And Yeshalona. So let's just linger in his presence for a minute. Oh, Lord, we just love you, Lord. We just are so grateful for you, Lord. We just praise your holy name. You're the righteous King. You're the mighty King. We just worship and adore you and thank you, Father God, for your presence and your power tonight. You are great and greatly to be praised, and we honor and worship and adore you. We thank you, Father God. We honor you. You are the King of Kings. You're the Lord of glory. God, we just love you, Father God. We just love you, Father God. We love you, Lord. We praise your holy name. We magnify the name of Jesus. We glorify your holy name. We magnify the name of Jesus. We honor and love you, Lord. We just reach out to you, God, and we honor and praise and adore you and love you and thank you, Father God, for your presence tonight. Thank you for your power tonight, Father God. Oh, you're so wonderful, Father God. You are so wonderful, Lord. You're so wonderful, Father. We praise your name. I thank you, Father, for your presence and your power. Praise your name. God, I just thank you, Lord, that you have your way tonight. I just thank you, Father God, that you have something to say and you have something to do. And Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you just move in and through your servant tonight. And I thank you, Father God, that you, I just yield myself to you and I say, have your way, Father. Have your way tonight, Father God. I get out of your way and I say, have your way. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh. Is he not good? I'm fogged up, guys, my glasses, because as we were singing, there was just this massive heat on my head that ran down my neck, and his presence is so powerful and wonderful tonight. And I asked my mother-in-law to pray for me, and she said, I'm praying for you, but she also said, aware that the Lord may want to heal some people tonight. And so, you know, as we were singing and, is there anyone that needs any prayer tonight? Because I just don't want to move on without doing that. Because she said to be aware that God wants to heal. And I believe he does. What's going on? Oh, okay. We'll pray for Pastor Allen. Is there anybody else? Can I get I need to get a pencil or something. I don't want to miss anybody. Okay, thank you. All right, so we've got Pastor Allen. Okay, and then Dave, it's your, what is it?
Left leg.
Leg. Okay, and then anybody else? Kim, with your back, and what about the other issue that's concerning you? That God would perfect your concerns?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect Kim's concerns. Okay, and anybody else? All right, and you know what? Let's lay our hands on the sick that they may recover. So the people who need healing, can you come up? And we'll just, and anybody that wants to come up and also come and agree with us in prayer, you know, you can do it from your seat if you want to, but pray in the Spirit. You know, we are Spirit-filled believers, and so we Amen. Need to be praying in the Spirit. So it's your left leg, right?
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and Oh, Father, we just love and praise your name, and I just thank you, Father God. You know, we're exercising our faith, God, and God, we're coming together in a oneness, Father God. And Lord, your word says that when we lay our hands on the sick, that they recover. And Lord, I just speak over that left leg right now that Dave is having trouble with, and we command it to come into agreement and alignment and order in the name of Jesus. Any swelling, I rebuke in the name of Jesus. Any tendons, anything that needs to be healed or repaired in there, I speak forth that word and thank you, Father God, for healing right now, repairing in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father God. I thank you for that manifestation. I'm going to lay my hands on you from Pastor Allen. And if you guys want to come and let's agree in prayer for Pastor Allen. Lord, we just praise your holy name. We cancel any assignments of the enemy. We try to come against Pastor in any way. We cancel the assignments of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Bind that spirit of infirmity that's trying to get a hold of his body right now. And I command you to release Pastor Allen right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I speak health and life over those sinuses, and I command them to open up right now in the name of Jesus. Symptoms of allergies, we rebuke in Jesus' name, and I thank you for strength and health flowing into his body right now in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it, Father God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right, Kimberly, let's pray for you and your back. Oh, yesha sondra shanda son kombaran yeshara no sodan yeshara no so sodan yesha sakan yesha so. Iso tema shando sodana yesha. I command whatever is out of order to come back in order in this body. From the top of her head to the toes of her feet, I command order right now in Jesus' name, aligning up in this spine and in this body in the name of Jesus. Yesha sota shana sankama sato so. I thank you, God, for a perfecting of Kim's concerns right now. The issue that concerns her, Father God, I thank you, Father God, that word, the word is that you were healed by Jesus' stripes. I thank you for an excellent report in Jesus' name. I thank you for a manifestation of healing in this body today in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh. I tell you one thing, you know, when you're talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit, you know, and the giftings of the Holy Spirit, you know, being sensitive to what he wants to do, it's so important. And you know what's so interesting, you know, we're supernatural people, you know, called to do supernatural things. And so, you know, laying our hands on the sick, they do recover, you know, and so we don't have to have a doubt and we need to just pray right away, you know. There doesn't need to be a delay in those kinds of things. I talked last week, you know, I'm talking about, you know, God manifesting his presence on this earth, you know, and what our part is in all of this. And I've been talking about, last week we went over some things about, you know, the whole issue is, you know, Holy Spirit is like a river on the inside of us. And, you know, we need to get out of the way of what Holy Spirit wants to do through us. And I've been talking about, you know, the hindrances to the flow of the Holy Spirit through us. Because, you know, God has a plan for me to accomplish on this earth. You know, Holy Spirit's on the inside of me with an individual plan for me to accomplish on this earth, but it's part of the greater plan that God has for this world, that none perish. You know, God's desire, there's, you know, everything he did was because for God so loved the world. And I don't know that, you know, we're endeavoring to understand that love that he has, which is so not a part of this earth. But, you know, I'm called on a mission. I have a mission to fulfill, you know, on this earth that's a part of that overarching plan. And so I don't want to cause there to be any loss of productivity, what God wants to do in and through me. And so those are the kinds of things I've been talking about. And I left on kind of a heavy note last week, and I think I need to reiterate the point that I had talked about last week, and it was in Matthew 7, and it was in relation to John Bevere, And him talking about how years and years ago, when he was a young person, he in his church, he would go and pick up these pastors at that they would have come in for the meetings at their church for these big, great meetings that they would have. And he'd say, you know, some of the ministers that would get in the car, it was just the power and the presence of God was so great in that, you know, and they were just talking, and it was so exciting as they were traveling to the church or wherever he was taking them. And then he said that, and then, you know, the power of God would move as they would minister. But then he said there were other ministers that would come through, and as they were in the car, you know, the things that they were talking about and doing, he said he almost felt dirty after they got out of the car, you know, because, you know, of character issues. And but yet they would go to the meetings, you know, and the power and the presence of God would flow. I mean, it was just amazing. And he pondered why. And he was directed to a scripture, and it's Matthew 7, 21. And it says here, Jesus is saying, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" And you know, that sounds like a really harsh scripture to read, but the point being that, you know, you can operate in the power of God, but have a terrible character, and you're deceiving yourself if you think, you know, you're walking in his will and his ways, because we're supposed to be reflecting who God is. And I mentioned how John Bevere talked about that the fruit of the Spirit, that's something that we need to develop in our lives, that the fruit of the Spirit is really a reflection of God's character, and we really need to be the whole package to the world. We need to reflect who he is, and it shouldn't just be what we're doing. It's that who and do thing. Joyce Meyer talks about, you know, does your who match up with your do? Meaning that, you know, who you say you are and how you're operating, does it match up with what you're doing, you know? And so, and John Bevere said that the Lord directed him when he was questioning him about these ministers that, and just his wondering about, you know, what was going on, why they were able to operate in such power and everything. He said that the Lord spoke to him one day and said, "Did you notice they don't say, 'But we fed the poor in your name. We visited those in prison in your name.' The people who do these kinds of things cultivate the fruit." And so the important thing of that fruit cultivation in our lives is it helps us to finish strong and not misled. You know, because you can, you know, the Holy Spirit gives you these gifts to operate in, and you can be operating in those gifts, but if your character doesn't line up with God's character, you know, you're deceiving yourself, and you can really harm others, and so we don't need to do that. So I was just talking last week about areas that we needed to deal with in our lives, because one of the issues is that if we don't, in talking about the flow of the Holy Spirit through us, you know, I talked about how there's things in us that we do that cause us to build a dam on the inside of us like a beaver. You know, we build up, we literally put logs up and block the flow of the Holy Spirit. So I talked about a few things last week that can cause that to happen, and I'm going to talk a little bit more today. One of the things is priorities, and I like one of the things that Watchman Nee talked about. He calls it the thing at hand. And he said, suppose a father asks his son to do a certain thing. And the son answers, "Right now I have something in my hand. As soon as I finish it, I will do what you know, want me to do." And I thought about one of my children whom I love dearly. And I would say, you know, you need to make sure you get the vacuuming done. You know, that was my priority. And then the, you know, oh, I'll get to it, you know. And by the end of the day, late into the night, the vacuuming hadn't been done. And the point being that we do that with God. You know, Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, nudging us. Okay, I need you to go speak to that person. Okay, I need you to go talk to that person, or I need you to go visit that person in the hospital or whatever. Well, God, I'm going to get to it. I'm right in the middle of something, but as soon as I'm done, I'll go do it. Well, the problem is frequently we don't do it. You know, we forget. Or, and then the other thing is, what? And the thing we're doing, it may be a good thing. You know, it may not be something like, oh, I'm watching TV and I'm not going to do that. It could be that you're out doing something related to, you know, your walk with the Lord and all good. But if Holy Spirit's on the inside of you nudging you at that time, and it's a time-sensitive thing, we need to just do it. And so we don't want to miss opportunities, and I have done that. Over the years, there's been times when Holy Spirit's nudged me to do something and then I don't do it. And I mean, I could recount more than one occasion, and I'm sorry to say that, you know. And, you know, he wanted to use me, you know. But because I was busy with my priorities, you know, he had to find somebody else. And so I don't want to, and that literally, you know, stops that flow of the Spirit. You know, when we, if we say no to Holy Spirit, we develop a callousness that develops on the inside of us. And we don't want to be insensitive to the Holy Spirit. It's just like, you know, if I'm writing and I get a callous, I used to when I was in school, I was a little, you know, as a little kid, you know, you're trying to write your name so carefully. Well, I would get a callous on my finger, you know. Well, if I'm repeatedly doing that same thing over and over, where I'll get to it, Lord, you know, I'll get to that or whatever, I'm developing a callous on the inside towards Holy Spirit, you know, and then I'll hear him less and less and less, and we really need to be careful not to do that. Another issue that we need to watch out for is stubbornness. And oh, I've had to deal with that in my own life, because I can be a very stubborn person. And stubbornness is good if it works for, if it's bent towards God, but if it's bent towards your own, what you want to do. Now, don't you laugh back there, Mr. Buster. Be quiet. You better just get that smile off your face right now. I'm a saint. Anyway, but, you know, we have these, you know, we can have that stubborn bent. And the issue is there's a crucifying of the flesh that takes part, that we need to take and do each and every day. You know, God doesn't require us to physically hang on the cross like Jesus did. But I'm called to crucify my flesh each and every day. That means I'm denying my will, my ways, my desires. You know, when we get up in the morning, we really need to address the Father and say, you know, oh, hey, you know, this is the day the Lord has made. I'd make that choice to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, what would you have me do in this day? Because he's really our leader and our guide. You know, Holy Spirit, what would you have me do today? You know, I may have an agenda, but I'd like to say, you know, Holy Spirit, you know, is this a good plan? If you want to interrupt this plan along the way, if you have something for you that you want me to do, I'm available. I am available. If you make yourself available, it's a life of adventure. You know, he'll give you opportunities along the way to speak to people and do different things because he wants to flow through you and minister to the people that are around you. And it's so important. And as I've said before, you know, the gifts are for all of us. And each one of us, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts because, you know, it's not just about the ministry staff having gifts of the Spirit. It's about all of us having the gifts of the Spirit because, you know, again, where, you know, I can't, you know, Pastor Marcia can't be everywhere you guys are at, you know, Holy Spirit is in us with the gifts so that we can minister to our sphere of influence, okay? And we really need to look at our sphere of influence. You know, here at New Life in the school, it is a huge ministry, And in a simple, we had a situation today where, and it was just, you know, it's the simple things, but we have a family where they're divorcing, and it's a really horrible thing. And the little boy is in kindergarten, and the little boy always has smiled and smiled and smiled. I've never seen him sad, and today he's boo-hooing in the hall. And Miss Rogers just reached down and hugged him, and she let him boo-hoo in her arms. Is that not ministry? Is that not ministry? You know, and that's what we can do everywhere we are. It's these simple things, you know, that you know, and Holy Spirit wants to flow through us, you know, and use us in these ways. But if I am bent on my own will, then I'm going to dam up Holy Spirit on the inside of me, and I don't want that to happen. I have to submit. And, you know, I talked about the issue of how Holy Spirit's on the inside of me, and he partners with my spirit, and then Holy Spirit governs on the inside of me. He's governing my soul, where the mind, will, and the emotions are, and the Holy Spirit uses my soul and my body as that flow, that out, as a means of expression. You know, I talked about that last week, and so if I am on the inside of me stubborn about my will and my ways, then my mind, my will, and emotions, I'm you know, not letting Holy Spirit govern my mind, will, and emotions, and I'm saying I'm going to do it my way, and I can't do that. I want Holy Spirit to move through me, and I don't want to waste time. The issue is productivity. Do you really want to be productive in this world? You know, we're fruit bearers, and I said before, we bear fruit every day. Do you want to bear fruit to death, or do you want to bear fruit to life? And I want to be a part of what God's doing, and it's those eternal things. You know, do you want to sow to the things that are burnt up, you know, in the end, or do you want to sow to the things that are eternal? And I want to sow to the eternal, you know, the things that really matter. So another thing that I wanted to talk about, and Pastor has been hitting on this in his teachings, is the, and it's the conscience, but it's about reasoning. The conscience is where we listen to reasonings. Reasonings are that questioning of God. And so when Holy Spirit's on the inside of us wanting us to go do something, there are times when we want to talk about it. You know, well, you know, I mean, he didn't really mean that I needed to go right now. You know, I'm sure there are other people that could go, and, you know, they've walked with God for a while, and I'm sure somebody's talked to him, or, you know, we talk ourselves out of speaking or doing what Holy Spirit wants us to do. And it goes back to the garden. You know, Eve, when was asked by the serpent, did God say? You know, Jesus, he's our example. You know, when he was tempted in the wilderness, he always pointed everything back to what did God say. So when I can't live in my conscience where that reasoning can take place, I've got to live in the spirit. And so, you know, I thought it was interesting. Pastor Kova said, God wants our conscience to be gone, and God never intended for us to live by a conscience. We need to live by faith in his word, and that's what Pastor said, and that's a ba-bam. You know, that's one of those, I need to live by faith in his word. And what does the word say? The word says that Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. The word says that I have gifts that Holy Spirit wants to use me in. You know, the word says that, you know, he's supposed to be Lord of my life. You know, I'm supposed to be under the leadership of Holy Spirit, and so I need to do that. And so when he's asking me to do things, I need to do them. And I thought this was interesting in Ephesians 4:17. It says in Ephesians 4:17, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind. And one of the things I wanted to talk about is, you know, we can talk ourselves out of operating in the gifts of the Spirit. You know, we can talk around, you know how you can talk a thing to death? You know, you just talk about it and talk about it and talk about it, and you look at something from all these different angles, and you push you push out faith, you know, you push out the Word of God, you know, you push out the supernatural activity of Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You know, we are supernatural beings called to do supernatural things. And so, you know, we have to keep those things in mind. And I don't want to walk in the futility of my mind. I don't want to go over and over in my mind reasoning why I should or should not do something if Holy Spirit has said, you're going to do this, you know. I need you to do this. Another issue that we really need to watch out for as we are getting ready, I'm going to be, actually getting into the specifics of the gifts of the Spirit, but I'm just kind of leading up to it. But another issue we need to be careful of to not dam up that flow of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us is self-love and self-preservation. We live in a society of I deserve, you know. I've had a difficult day, so I deserve to go to the salon and get the massage. And even though it's not in the budget, you know, I'm going to go take my credit card and I'm going to use it, because even on TV they tell me to use my credit card, you know, that I'm going to miss the moment if I don't use my credit card, you know. And we're petting ourselves, you know, oh, poor pitiful me. You know, I've had such a hard day. And, you know, yes, life can be tough. You know, I'm not saying that it isn't. And crucifying the flesh isn't comfortable. But it's the only place where you have real joy and real freedom and real, excitement. And unfortunately, we have to be very careful that we're not trying to preserve this flesh. You know, preserving the flesh leads to death, you know, and so this flesh, there's no good thing in my flesh. There just isn't. And, you know, when the going gets tough, I've got Holy Spirit on the inside of me to help me, and I've got the power to overcome on the inside of me, and I have to put down that tendency to want to lean towards that flesh, you know, pacifying the flesh. So we really need to be careful with that sort of thing, too. The other thing I wanted to bring out was we have to be very, very careful not to identify with natural gifts instead of the Holy Spirit gifts. And what I mean by that is you may have some natural ability. And, you know, you might think, wow, I'm such a good speaker, or I'm such a good, you know, I'm so good at art, or I'm so good at, you know, whatever it is, you know. And, you know, you start thinking about how good you are in whatever it is you think you're good at. And the problem is with all of that is, you know, we're in the body of Christ and we're one in the body of Christ. And when you start having that kind of those kinds of thoughts, that leads to pride and that causes division. And in the body of Christ, it's all about unity. You know, you think about God, if you went through the Word and you looked up all the places where God talks about unity, it's a big deal to God to be in unity. You know, there's unity in the Godhead, you know. There needs to be unity with on the inside of us. As Holy Spirit's on the inside of us, we make our flesh conform to the will of God, and we make that soul where the mind, will, and emotions live conform to the will of God, because it all comes into the unity of God, into that unity of what plans and purposes of God. And so if I start looking at my natural giftings and start thinking I'm so good in this or that or the other, I can cause myself to lean off into pride or go in a direction of pride, and we don't need to do that. The other issue is natural abilities are not supernatural abilities. You know, God is not going to put a super on your natural. He'll never do that. The gifts of the Spirit are supernatural gifts. And just because I might have a natural talent does not mean God's going to just stick super on the front of it. That's not the way He works. And the reason why He doesn't do that is because you're going to get the glory and He won't get the glory. You're going to shine and He's not going to shine. And the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit is for God to be manifest on this earth, not you. And so, One of the things that I've found in my walk with the Lord is frequently he will look at something inside, well, frequently, this has been my own experience, he'll pick something inside of you that you consider not to be, that you're not good at, and he'll say, guess what? You're going to do that. And I'll give you an example. Years and years and years ago, we had this dynamic speaker at our church in Omaha. And it was one of those ministry meetings where, here I am, Lord, send me wherever. It was that kind of a, fulfilling the plans and purposes of God in your life times. So, of course, I go up to the altar and I'm blubbering at the altar. Oh, Lord God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And, undone there, at the altar. And the Lord told me, you're going to preach my word. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. And I mean, you see me right now, but my husband can testify to how I was. I was the shyest person. I get up here and I go, I don't feel it's not something that naturally comes to me. But he said, this is what I want you to do. And one of the other things that I've found is in my walk with God, I've said to him all along, Lord, what is it that you would have me do? I will do whatever you want me to do. And if you do that, you're on this amazing adventure with God, because what happens is if we cling to our natural abilities and say, oh God, I know that you can only use me as a speaker if you think you're great at speaking, or me, I can do art really well. Oh, I can, I'll be an artist for the Lord. That would be great. But anyway, you can hang on to those natural abilities and then put God in a box and say, okay, God, or put yourself in a box. Okay, God, you can only use me in this way. And you inhibit Holy Spirit from using you in other areas that he wants you to use you in. And frequently it pulls you out of your comfort zone. And you're literally walking on the water with God, and you're having to say, okay, if you don't do it, it ain't happening, Lord. But he does. When you step out and you say, okay, I'll do what you're telling me to do, but you're going to have to help me. And then that supernatural ability comes, and then you're like, ba-bam, it comes out. And that's, I am a testimony of that today. You think about Moses. Moses said, you're calling the guy that can't speak before all these people. We always identify those areas that we consider to be weak, but God frequently puts his finger on those areas and said, that's what we're going to use you in, and you're like, so what do you need to do? Be available, be willing. Again, it's not your ability, it's his ability, and it's that supernatural ability flowing through you so that he gets the glory. And my husband, he'll tell you, me being up here, it's all the Lord. I wanted to talk about another thing, and I may have talked about this before, or maybe I just dreamed it. I don't know. Do you ever get up here and you go, did I say this before? Or you feel like you've said it before, and maybe you haven't, but you just, I don't know. It's very interesting. But I heard as I was preparing, there's a yoke, there's a yoke, there's a yoke. I kept hearing that, there's a yoke. And so I did some, studying. And it comes from Matthew 11, 28. Jesus is telling us in Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so I was asking the Lord about it, because I'm like, okay, yoke, okay, what does this have to do with Holy Spirit and flowing in the gifts? And the fact is that we have a yoke no matter what. Before you come to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you are yoked with the enemy. There you are in bondage, but when you get saved, the yoke of the Lord is there and available. And it's not a yoke of bondage, it's a yoke of freedom. And I liked what Matthew Henry's commentary talked about. It said, it is lined with the love of God. So if you can imagine two oxen who are pulling the plow, and you're one of those oxen and the other one is Jesus. And there's a productivity that happens when the two of you are working together. And that's what I'm talking about, is that supernatural cooperation that takes place. And so I have to yield to Holy Spirit, and I need to have my neck in the yoke that God has made for me. And so he has a way to lead and guide me. And as I listen to him, he's going to steer me in the way that I need to go. And it's very important that we allow ourselves to have that. We make the choice to put our neck in that yoke. God doesn't force us to do that. But when we get into those areas where we're stubborn, where we don't want to do things his way, we yank ourselves out of that yoke and we make our way hard and we are unproductive for the Lord. And it's critically important that if you want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," that you yield yourself to God, you put your neck in there, and you trust him because he has a definite direction that he wants to take you in and he wants to use you in. And I thought it was interesting, Rick Renner talked about the yoke, the easy, the word easy in that scripture. You know, Jesus says that that the yoke, his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and the word easy means pleasurable, delightful, comfortable. So that yoke is comfortable, it's delightful, it's pleasurable. It's a delight to work with the Lord. He's looking for you to work with him. He's looking for you to cooperate with him. He, you know, Holy Spirit needs to flow through you, and there has to be that cooperation. The other thing that he says here is being yoked together with him changes the atmosphere and brings peace and strength to your soul. And it's a most pleasurable experience. And when you're yoked with Jesus and you're doing what he wants you to do, you change the environment everywhere you go. You are bringing the power and the presence of God into that place because you are under that yoke and you're under his authority and his power, and you're saying, "I'll do what you want me to do." You're going with him in the direction that he's leading and guiding you in. And so it's critically important that we do that. And I think in Galatians 5:1 it says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." You know, if we really want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," when we stand before him, we have got to make the choice to put the yoke of the Lord on, not the yoke of the world. The yoke of the world is death. It is, you know, what does Satan want to do? You know, it's the flesh ways. But I want to do what God wants me to do. And so I'm just challenging you tonight to do that. And the other thing is in Romans 8:12, I wanted to... it's Romans 8:12 through 14. I want to read this. It says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And that, I like the way Rick Renner puts it. Listen to the way he says the Greek states it. "For as many as by the Spirit are being led, they are the sons of God." Listen to that again. "For as many as by the Spirit are being led, they are the sons of God." So basically, those who follow the leadership of Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. So we have to make it our goal to discern Holy Spirit's leading. And if you've got your neck in that yoke, every day when you get up, you know, "Lord, I make a choice to follow what you want me to do." You know, make that your confession in your prayer. You know, "Lord, I thank you for this day, but this is your day. I thank you, Lord, that I want what your plans are for today. I choose your ways and not my own ways. I want to follow you today. Help me, Holy Spirit, to hear what you want me to do today. Make me sensitive to you. I make a choice to listen to you." So we need to purposefully turn our ear to hear him and cultivate our ear to hear Holy Spirit. I thought this was interesting too. Watchman Nee talked about this. I thought this was really interesting. He talks about, just read this. He says, suppose the thermometer had never been invented. The doctor would have to determine whether his patient had a fever by the mere touch of his hand. His hand would serve as a thermometer. How sensitive and accurate his hand would need to be. In spiritual work, this is exactly the case. We are thermometers, instrumentalities. We must undergo thorough training and strict discipline, for whatever is untouched in us will be left untouched in others. And what a statement that is. What does that mean? Holy Spirit, I'm supposed to be sensitive to Holy Spirit, so he's pointing things out that I need to change in my life, which we've talked about before, because he's the revealer of truth. As I cooperate with him and, you know, come and choose to do what he's telling me to do. Let me give you the example. I had that difficult situation where I was hurt by somebody very close to me, and I had that battle, you know, on the inside of whether to forgive them or not. And I mean, it was a battle. I went to bed thinking about it. I woke up thinking about it. The situation that happened played over in my mind like a movie reel. But what did I need to do? You know, I had to make a choice to forgive, because that's what God tells me to do. You know, forgive those who spitefully use you. Pray for your enemies. That's what the word says. And so because I said, I made a choice to do that, then a work took place in me. And now I can tell you about it, and I can tell you what has been done or fixed and made whole in me. I can now communicate that to you, and it can minister to you. And we want that to be the case in our own lives, because Holy Spirit wants to flow through us. And if I never forgave, how can he ever use me in that area? You know, that just clogs up the flow of Holy Spirit. And that's not just with forgiveness. That's just any area of your life that he points out and says you need to deal with that, as he's the revealer of truth. You know, I am that thermometer, you know. I need to be sensitive in the situations that he puts me in, and I need to let him, you know, deal with me, get changed in me so that I can minister to others. Because if I don't do that, I'm wasting time on this earth, and I don't want to waste time. You know, when you're young, you think you've got this whole life to live, and it seems like life is endless on this earth. But as you age, you see, okay, there is an end in sight, and I won't be here. And it's just the tiniest part of your life. You are an eternal being. So don't you want to make an eternal impact on this earth? I do. So when I hear, well, I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So what is that going to entail? When he sets the fire to the works that I've done on this earth, what's going to survive? You know, it's going to be the things that were eternal, not the things that are the hay, the wood, the stubble. So sow to the things that are eternal. Don't, you know, clog up Holy Spirit and inhibit him from moving through you. Be sensitive. Listen to what he's having you deal with in your own life so that you can let him flow through you. So I'm going to go ahead and close it because it's almost 8 o'clock. But I just want to encourage you. This is the direction I'm going in. I'm going to preach the rest of through the rest of May. But I'm talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and I wanted to set a stage before we talk about the gifts, because we don't want to clog up or inhibit the gifts of the Spirit from flowing through us. We don't want to inhibit Holy Spirit from flowing through us. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just love and praise your name, and I just thank you, Father, that you showed up tonight. Father God, I thank you, God, that you are with us, Father God, that you hear the prayers of your people, Father God. I thank you for the healings. I thank you, God, for the excellent reports we're going to hear, because, Father God, we're going to hear praise reports, Father God, because we laid our hands on the sick and they did recover. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for everyone tonight. I thank you, God, that you're teaching us and helping us to understand. I thank you, Father God, we've been made to be a mighty people, Father God, to do mighty things. And I thank you that you're equipping us tonight and every night, Father God. You're showing us, you're revealing new things to us and equipping us to do the great works you're calling us to do. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.